What's up, beautiful people, and welcome to Inside Out Empowerment, where we are examining the science of personal excellence through the very real experience of today's most powerful thinkers, professional athletes, and the world's greatest entrepreneurs. We learn the mechanisms for designing the life and the results of our dreams, starting from the inside out. I'm entrepreneur Joshua Nussbaum and your host. Just watch me now.
Welcome back to Bucci Radio. We're here with Josh Nussbaum, president of Rev Labs, serial entrepreneur, although he didn't want to be called that, but you started a lot of businesses, which is essentially what that is. Starting a lot of businesses, you start things, so you're a creator, right?
Oh, it's infinitely better at creating than managing, I can tell you that.
Hey, I think a lot of us are like that.
Unapologetically so. I fought it for a long time, and like my stuff exploded when I finally embraced how horrible I was at like being the guy to systematically implement the proper logistics and just got the fuck out of the way of the people that were infinitely better than me at those things.
It's very true.
Like, you know, when I was 21, I thought I had to be the best at everything and was so busy compensating, like my strengths couldn't shine, you know?
Yeah, no, I was the same way, and I didn't even realize that I was able to delegate things to other people. I kind of just took it all on because I thought I had to. So I know how to do everything now, which I think is kind of cool, but not necessary for sure.
All right, I'm coming out with a confession that was literally advised. I did not bring this up, and I'm just like, dude, if you tell me I can't say something, I got to hit it between the eyes. Okay. I'm going on an all-nighter right now.
No,
Not like I didn't get a lot of sleep. I mean, like zero, not a wink. Didn't leave my desk for a whole 24 hours prior to this because I had hit my limit with my developers out of New York. And
for the supplements?
Yeah. So we'll talk tech and like a little bit nerdy for a second. Although I think the general populace has become like, this is more generally accepted. I migrated like 6 years worth of code written by like five different developers over those 6 years, maybe four different developers. And I had a very, very robust, like custom Magento site for e-commerce back before people knew what ClickFunnels was. You know, it like preceded that era and people didn't know what conversion rates were. There was no such thing as like an app or a widget that you plug into something. So everything I ever needed it to do, I had to build out. Well, that made me like the coolest guy on earth in the technical world of 2009. You know what I mean? Like selling raspberry ketone because Dr. Oz said it was cool, right? But circa 2015, 2016, if you're still operating on like a custom made thing that is not, is you're like the PC that gets blown away by Mac because Mac is compatible with everything. They're not trying to be the number one best, to call back to the analogy, right? Full circle. They go, okay, we're going to be a piece of hardware, or we will be a piece of software. We will be like the brain that everything else plugs into and empowers and makes great. Because a CPU by itself without Wi-Fi, what the fuck does it do besides for make sure your paper doesn't blow away? Not a lot, right?
Right.
But as it gains functionality empowered by the other things that plug into it, it gets to be like the amazing thing, Apple or whatever that it is. Needless to say, I had enough and I was like so meticulous about how we were going to transfer all of that code that was like no longer flexible enough to be able to function and be competitive with all these like pesky Instagram stars.
Pause.
Yeah, you know, that like, you know, all, yeah, I'm like, wait for the reaction. You don't know my sense of humor yet.
Fine, I get it.
Yeah, okay. Touche. that I was like, it was me and Shreds, maybe Andy Frisella. I saw that guy back on the scene where I'm like, you know, spending money through the nose on like Google AdWords. Then Google AdWords got saturated. I moved to Facebook literally 6 days after the EdgeRank algorithm came out, which was the first time that the platform lended itself to outside.
It has a name, the algorithm change?
Yes. The majority of, like when they do like a software update, but when they change like the decision-making systems of the way things are ranked and classified and the way variables cross compare to each other to decide which one is better and more relevant to what you are trying to look for, they name them. So like you know, they had like Panda, and then you know OS Snow Leopard came out, which lent certain capabilities, which created like YouTube to become a paid platform when, I mean, way back when I was doing social media, it was, you know, every single person that subscribed to you saw every single thing that you posted, you know, it was like 100% deliverability, whether or not they, yeah, back in the day, you know, so as it became more competitive, people were developing things that needed to be more competitive to give you the edge of like being able to look at how many engagements you get or how interactive you are with your following, how close to the post it goes up, like how long form your captions are, whatever. Like people started to like take note of the decision-making processes of these things, and having a very, very robust hub centrifuge of like all things Rev Labs that was really great when I was the only guy running continuity free option to capture somebody's data and then retarget the living shit out of them in Australia when nobody had like the solution to drop ship because nothing was compatible with anything. I was the cool kid. Well, come like 2018 and I'm having to build out like unconnected landing pages and host them on a subdomain. So, and then just holding onto Magento just because that's what I had. I just had to like put my foot down and be like, all right, we're going to back up everything we can. We're going to plan out everything we can. I have a team of 7 fucking guys on this.
This was the all-nighter?
No, this was like 3 fucking months ago, Amanda, when I planned it for like 6 weeks and was positive it was perfect. And we do this migration and like one of my developers has a baby, another one of them moves back to India. You know, the head of the company went to rehab, and I'm like, out of 7, I had like 2.5 people working on this and my site was not properly executed. So I had a temper tantrum last week after like a month and a half of struggling through this like state of flux where I'm like not turning my Instagram ads on and like paying influencers to do their fucking thing and my content writers and blog posts and one of 1,000 things I'm sure you know occur that people don't know are occurring. They just kind of get a general sense that you're awesome. It's not by accident that they get that sense, right? And I'm sitting there like, it's just that feeling of like spending good money after bad because the thing they are driving into is not functioning properly to be able to monetize them, which if your conversion rate drops by 11%, it doesn't sound like it's detrimental, but you have like a broken widget or like a pixel that's not firing or something. And over the course of $300,000, it's like, let's do the math on that 11%, you fucking programmers. So I fired the whole team and was just like, I'm going to teach myself how to program.
Oh, fun.
So for like literally 4 days, I'm just like, watch what happens when you leave me with a little bit of EndoRev and then step it up to like just straight caffeine. Literally popping our caffeine pills, like they're like breath mints, and our site is working now. But it was one of those things that I just needed to like, I try to aim for like power, not force. This was one of those things I just had to fucking force the round peg and make it fit the hole.
Right.
So yeah, I'm running on fumes at this point, but incredibly, incredibly excited and enthusiastic to be here.
I can tell, but it's okay. You know, I love the tech problems because they teach us a lot of patience, even though sometimes we don't respond with patience.
Is that what I'm learning? I knew it was something. I didn't know that that was the feeling of patience.
You know that we're currently in Mercury's retrograde, and that means that technology is starting to fail and fuck up and be confusing, and that's potentially one of the reasons why this happened.
I'm really happy that Elizabeth stepped out for that comment. Because I would have just gotten a huge "I told you so."
Oh, and the retrograde thing.
Yes, and like it's a weird one of my like it's kind of cute, but like she can do it in a way that like bothers me very much too. When I'm like on the phone, like arguing with an investor or like giving an influencer tough love about like I wish you could see yourself the way I see you and know what your path is. If you can step up to it, and I know that you think you're operating at 100%, but I want you to look at yourself in the mirror and just say, you ain't seen nothing yet. Because yes, this is your capacity right now. And every moment you operate at this red line, you are not a vehicle. You are an infinitely capable being that will adjust to any degree of scrutiny. Like that's the thing, is we feel like things are hard and then our threshold's here and things are harder and like your money's fucking up and you break your leg and you break up with your boyfriend and like all this shit happens and you're like, dude, one more thing I'm just going to break. The irony is 50 more things can happen. And as human beings, it doesn't feel good, but there's a certain like amazingness when like your world falls on your head and you kind of go like, I'm still fucking here. And you realize that like, we're not really breakable, you know? So when I'm like trying to get that through to somebody who's in a very like in their shit, looking at the tree instead of the forest state of mind. And Liz is like nudging me. She's like, remember Mercury's in retrograde. Like, you know what I mean? Like I'm mid Joshua fucking rant, like talking to this guy who's like 6X my size on social and like gorgeous as fuck. And I'm just like, you have no fucking idea who you are. You have no idea who you are. You're being a fucking pussy. You know what I mean? Like, and she's like, Mercury's in retrograde.
Oh, Liz and I would get along.
I'm like, Elizabeth. Like,
oh, that's great. Well, either way, we are here to talk about the shit, right? Like, we're here to talk about your story and we're here to talk about the bad things that can happen to you in life and how to kind of pretty much overcome them based on, you know, based on your story and your experiences. So you can start by telling us how, like what, you know, your first businesses were and what happened to you when you were a kid that spurred all of this where you are now, right? And then you can move us through the message that you really want to send, what we talked about before the podcast started recording, before we started chatting about the all-nighter and the technology.
I don't remember if we were recording when you were dropping the Lord of the Rings reference or not. I think that was right before.
We weren't. Not yet. Yes.
I want to be able to like just be tagged like Sir Joshua from the Shire. And I'm like, I don't know how I got turned into like, I was trying to be overly prestigious with my title and I somehow got turned into an hobbit.
A hobbit.
Unclear about that transition. Oh, that's why. Yeah, it was the alliteration. I got it. Yeah. So I have a very, I'm not going to start that far back because we would be here for another all-nighter, but I have a very unique story in terms of like getting propelled and rocket fueled into the world of entrepreneurship. And I don't like the word serial entrepreneur, A, because it's trendy. Yeah. And I feel like I don't like when people misallocate, like when there's like Gary Vee says, like, people say everything is like the Uber of everything, right? Like when they're pitching something, like, dude, this guy's literally like the Uber of used cars. This guy's like literally like the Uber of satellite TV. And I'm like, what the fuck is the Uber of satellite TV? That doesn't even mean anything, you know? But people are just like abusing a saying and it makes it not mean anything, you know? Right. So I don't think I became an entrepreneur when I like started my first very successful business or even struggling to set up my first business before it was successful. I think all entrepreneurship is a capacity to resolve issues, to out create problems. And people have very different formats for that. But, you know, I was speaking in Aspen to a room full of digital marketers and the criterion was you had to make they were like a bunch of mid-sized companies. So you couldn't make less than $10 million a year gross, your company. And you couldn't make more than $100 million. Okay, so it's like $10 million to $100 million businesses. And they brought people in to help nudge them over that thing. And the vision for it was, after hearing the pieces plugged in for e-commerce or email or developing like artificial intelligence and bots that can become not just like a series of like pre-branched out when someone says this, the bot responds with this, but actually have like natural language patterns and be able to read and learn things that you didn't tell it and the person didn't tell it because it has like an ability to reason for itself, right? It's like true artificial intelligence. You just build parameters so it doesn't start saying absurd shit to your people. Mm-hmm. It's like the cutting edge, like front end stuff. So hopefully after they preen a little bit of this and a little bit of this and a little bit of this, they wouldn't be showing up in the same bracket the next year. Right. And that was the thought and the intention. And there was a lot of focus on process, which is not my strong suit. Well, not my conscious strong suit. And we were doing the little like, this is the format of the breakout sessions. And then this is, we're not going to give you the content, but we want everyone to follow the same generalized, like intro, body, hard takeaways. You know, they gave it a structure, which you want me to be like a fucking 5-year-old really quick, try to put me in a box. You know what I mean? Like it's just, I, stopped trying to fight the fact that I can't sit through meetings like a decade ago. And thank God I did, because when I was sitting there in class, like, I'm balancing my knee, which I thought you'd be able to see better than you can, but just believe me, it's happening. I was like agitated constantly. And the second I just embraced it and started to flow, the world randomly came to me a little bit more, not a little bit more, like the word, it's just like Moses and the seas part, right? Mm-hmm. And I realized I have a very long train of thought, sort of. So I sometimes extend past the original point by two or three sentences. Let me circle back for you.
That's okay.
Going,
it's self-awareness.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm very critical and very self-loving at the same time. Good. Like I like to call it exactly how I see it. And I try to see and hear as much as humanly possible, despite my big mouth. Both ears are on at all times, I assure you. They were asking like a very similar question. And this was like a month ago that it happened, which is why I'm bringing it up, of like, you know, kind of like, what was your process, or how did you get started in entrepreneurship, or what is a pattern that you see occur over and over again that regardless of what the how-tos are that you guys are teaching that could be taught somewhere else or is going to be content in a blog article on a tech blog somewhere, what is the macro theme? What is the meta frame? What is the way you approached it that differentiates the fact that you're not necessarily smarter than the people you're speaking to? You're not necessarily more well financed. You're not maybe working harder, maybe not working harder, but there is a distinguisher. And it's not just that you learned about artificial intelligence and decided to pursue that. That might be part of it, but there's a reason you're standing there, because if you look at enough circumstances and enough issues over a long enough period of time, if you look at an instance, it's like you got lucky or you had a tough break. But if you look at enough instances and stumbles and falls and wins and losses and how you handle each of them, there's a persistent theme. And that puts shit in perspective for me, because I'm like, I'm not fucking talking in the way you want me to talk. You fucking paid me to beg my ass to get out here to lecture your fucking people. And I don't like planes. And we're in Aspen and that runway is tiny. And this plane sat like 19 people to like go from Denver to Aspen. And yes, it's pretty, but I'm also a San Diego boy and I don't like the cold. So I'm here, I'm grumpy, I have low blood sugar, I have shrinkage, and now you're trying to control me. This is going to go real bad real quick. And he's like, just think about it for a second. Just consider it. And if you don't, you can talk any way you want to. And I'm like, don't handle me the way I would handle me. I know what you're doing. You know, he's like, I'm just moving out of your way. I'm smart enough not to take a bullhead on. I'm just moving. And then you can like see what shows up. So I'm like, oh, you're all mature and shit. Anyway, so I thought about it. Shocker, he was right. And I realized that my process, and I'm pulling it all the way back to the question now, 14 years later, didn't start when I started in business. You know, it's like a genetic thing, or it's just you're taught to say certain things and that becomes part of your vernacular. You like are exposed to a certain amount of trends based on like who you follow and where you grow up. And that kind that impacts the way you do your hair and the way you dress. But all of these things that influence your nurture, all of these things that nudge you in one way or nudge you in another way, still don't make the X factor. And that is just the piece that you give to anything that is impacting you that you are impacting back, right? And that's the piece that I wanted to nail down. So I'm like, I was speaking first and I'm like, I'm going to go take a lap. And I go and I like walk, and it's literally, I have like a freaking like 9 pages of shit that are like, I'm not a really super strong reader. Even though I read a lot, I'm not good at it. So I do my best to not like have to actually like be looking at the words. I just try to like jog my thought process on this is where I'm going now. And literally I walked on stage. I ended up like being like, dude, can I speak third? Like I'm completely changing the way I'm thinking about this. Like you could not have been more right. Like I want to talk to you. He's like, no, the speeches are going. You didn't want to talk. You were crossing your arms like a 9-year-old. Now you want to talk. I have to introduce the speaker. I'm like, but just listen. He's like, I'll listen when you have a microphone in your hand. I'm like, okay, I need 30 minutes. You know, the pattern is this. This is what I shared on stage that I think is like the universal string that has maintained prior to the story starting. And those of you that are audio, of which I assume 100% of you are, minus my Boston Terrier Patron and my Boston Terrier Bailey, that don't speak English and also don't have YouTube channels, unfortunately, besides for the rare cameos that they make in mine and Liz's, that it starts with a capacity, regardless of how you are feeling, regardless of how much you are the expert, the hot girl at the bar, the pursuer, like regardless of where you land, the place to start is always with two ears and one mouth for a reason. Mm. And part of it is like the wisdom of like, it's important to listen and remember to breathe and insert cheesy meme here that will massacre you on the algorithm because Instagram doesn't like that. Right? And but the other piece of it is very pragmatic. The other piece of it is whether you are an analytics junkie or a hairstylist trying to like figure out enough things right to like pay her $900 in rent a month, the more data that you have going into a decision-making system, the more capable and the higher the capacity to make an accurate decision. Mm. So the first piece, regardless of your natural tendency, regardless of your relationship or your position in relationship to the system or the thing you are considering, I don't decide yes and I don't decide no. I can feel however I want to feel. I know better than to like put myself in a box, which I had done very forcefully and then felt myself rebel against me. And I know better than to create that disalignment because I just don't work like that. I'm too high horsepower that if I allow it to start going like this, you know what I mean? Like it's not like I'm a wild producer that sleeps 4 hours a night and wants to like help a bum talk to him about like nutrition and map out his life and go get him a notepad and like talk to him about whatever and like literally go buy him a phone so he can record his thoughts so he can hear the way he sounds, you know, and that's like my energy that very quickly can be like drinking excessively, getting in fights, like, you know what I mean? Like mouthing off to people and things that don't require that, but I just have enough agitation to like misplace that horsepower. Do you know what I mean? And if you don't feel, I have to keep my shit clean because if I don't, like that water is coming out, whether or not it's like beautiful sunshine and rainbows and empowered, like putting out a fire, or it's like mud and glass and whatever spraying all over the people I love is entirely up to me, but that's flowing. It's going to come out anyway, right? You know? So I don't jump the gun. I let myself feel however I want to feel without resisting it. Cause that's when you start getting the glass and the mud and the shit, right? Cause there's like that ickiness that like, I just don't feel good with where I am and what's happening and I can't spot it. So I let myself like, I don't like someone innately, or they did something that rubbed me the wrong way and now they're pitching me on something and they haven't acknowledged it. So I'm kind of have that like feeling towards them. I let myself feel that, but I don't make the decision that I'm not listening to what the fuck is going on. So being aware of your capacity to let information in. And a lot of people that think they have like outflow issues or don't consider themselves salespeople or think they have self-confidence issues, it's actually none of those things. Those things are byproducts. The amount of shit I have been able to shift in human beings or invite people into shifting once this comes into perspective, simply by inviting them to exercise their capacity to receive whatever that reception is. You want to like really get knocked on your ass? Try like holding still when something bigger and stronger than you hits you. Mm. It's physics. It's like fucking no, you know? But like you stand there like this, like the emoji with the yellow guy that's like slamming his head against the wall, you're going to get a fucking headache. You know what I mean? Or you can just pivot and let whatever the hell is happening happen and choose to allow yourself to feel how you want to feel. So you're not sitting there being like, I'm going to be tough. I don't care. I don't care what they think about me. You know?
Right.
I'm the only guy who sits there in a legal negotiation again, you know, at like 26, having dropped out of my first year of law school against like a panel of like farmers corporate counsel representing myself. And they're talking about like my, you know, whatever, my incompetencies and how my suit is fraud is, you know, falsified and whatever. And the judge goes, it's your turn to speak. What do you have to say? And I'm like, that my feelings are hurt. You know, yeah. It's like a panel of like high-end attorneys, but I know better than to like posture and be anything except for who and what I'm feeling. But that doesn't mean I'm not still very much in the game, ready to fucking eat them for lunch on the 7 things that I made notes on, right? Yeah. So the first piece of the process is to allow whatever the fuck is happening happen.
Mm.
And to resist your everyone's, not your Amanda, everyone's knee-jerk animalistic desire to jump at the first thing that triggers anything.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm very good with my first instincts. When I look at somebody's eyes and I hear the tone in somebody's voice, and I can't sit in interviews because literally Elizabeth was like going insane. She runs all my empires. I like create a huge ruckus and create tons and tons and tons of money that I have no capacity to like facilitate or fulfill or like, yep. You know what I mean? Keep organized. Like I'm sitting there, I'm like, dude, what the fuck happened with that Amanda call? Dude, I've been wanting to connect with her. And she's like, you've missed that podcast 4 times. And I'm like, seriously? And she's like, no, but you don't know that you didn't miss it. Like, what the fuck, Josh? Like, get your head in the game, you know? I'm like, my head is very much in the game because my job in the game is to keep my head in the clouds. Like, you stay in your lane, I'll stay in mine, and I appreciate you. I couldn't be me without you, but like, I'm not going to try to force what's happening. I'm going to let it happen. That's number one. And I could write a whole book on just receiving, which is crazy because my mouth runs all the time.
Right.
But I'm watching when you adjust your hair, when you lick your lips, not sexually. It's a thing you do, right?
I need chapstick.
Chapstick. It's not a judgment, right? I have no opinion whatsoever. I'm just I keep my eyes and my ears open and the sensory acuity high. Mm. So if you're going into something, I always tell people when they like, dude, can you just do it on my funnels? I'm like, dude, stop trying to be the smartest fucking guy in the room. Don't try to guess what the next thing is. Assess the fucking market. I have data. How much data do you have? How hard have you looked at it? What is the data telling you? Because you have spent $6 million on outflow, generating users to come into your ecosystem. And you've spent 80 grand in a decade on optimization. That is fucking insanity. And by the way, redesigning a site and updating it with new influencers who are just like the 4 years younger with like new boobs and new six packs and new like bench press records and like whatever, and changing the colors and launching a new line that is like the same line as before with a couple of tweaks is not optimizing. That's refreshing from start on a new creative, on a new system that you have no data on. Mm. So it can be very systematic, or it can be like the way I said it in the beginning, which is like the cheesy meme that like listening is important, and both are true. I'm like, it's funny. I'm being very assertive about my certainty about not being assertive and sitting there and just
right about listening, receiving
what's happening. Like what around me, I know like my knee jerk, I'm like, this is out of line. You have a pixel that's not firing. Your conversion rate's high enough. Your CPM is too high. And I'm like, stop. See what else it can tell you. Yes, those things might be true and probably are.
In each of your businesses that you have or that you've created, has this receiving come up a lot where maybe you haven't been as open to receiving and something went wrong and shit hit the fan? Or like, what's the story behind the reason that this is like the message that you want to send right now?
I want to acknowledge you for being such a good listener that you heard what I didn't say. And that's a skill. That is an incredible skill where you have to be receptive yourself to not just, you didn't like just make a guess. You're saying, okay, I'm feeling that there is an abnormal strength here that normally doesn't come because God waved his magic wand and made somebody like that. It generally is a product of a certain experience or experiences. Good on you, babe.
Thanks.
I see you. I've always been a very odd duck. I have never fit in. I was very good at sports and very much like my football coach senior year said, you want to know why I chose you as captain? And I'm like, I don't know, because I'm like the tallest kid on a football team, an 8-man football team in Division 3 school filled with like Jewish kids in a private community. And he's like, aside from that, smart ass. I'm like, sure, yes, why? You know, I'm like the smartest kid with autism, you know, I'm like the team captain of like Division 3, like whatever. He's like, because you're always amongst the players, and to someone that doesn't know you, they would consider you one of the players. And although you play with the other players, you're not one of them. And your capacity to be such a part of the system and be so internally removed and not let everyone know and feel how displaced you feel is something that feels like a weakness that you hide right now, but is really a tremendous strength. Mm. And I was like, oh my God, he knows how weird I feel. You know what I mean? Like, that was my reaction.
He gets me.
You know, and I'm going like, am I that transparent? Right? Because I was still doing this song and dance where, like, when I'm in my flow and doing my thing, it's very much not what the room is doing. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And by the way, that doesn't mean I'm like right all the time or even most of the time. Right? It's like all the other things that come along with your surrender to whatever it is that you have committed to achieving, that even if it's dead fucking wrong, if I tell my people that are in front of me, you have 30 minutes, come back to me with a decision. Like, I'll have a conversation with them one time where I have to communicate the concept that a wrong decision is infinitely more right than indecision.
Mm.
You know? Because you cannot coordinate, let alone win and synergistically empower a body, a force of human beings, of energy in any direction, physical, spiritual, sexual, or otherwise, financial especially, fuck. If you don't have, pardon the pun, a funnel to direct that energy. And I'm not trying to sound like Mr. Miyagi. I'm like, it to me sounds like I'm reading a textbook. And I hear my words sometimes and I'm like, a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. And I'm like, fuck, I'm really not meaning to sound like that, you know? It's a strength and a weakness. But when I found out that, like, people want to look and then keep looking and then look and then maybe sit down and not leap because of the implication of what leaping might ensue, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's something magical that happens where you've been looking for a long time and you've just been like irritable and discontent and having that sort of feeling that no matter how much shit you get right, you're still not there. I don't know if you can relate to that.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Like, it's not like your life is bad and you're doing good at a bunch of stuff and doing bad at a bunch of stuff and you're not like abnormally one way or the other, but you just are not in your lane. Like, you're not just like streaming and like in that space where like you're eating shit and it's just fueling you to push harder and then you're winning and then you're like, everyone shut the fuck up. Okay, fine. Everyone can high five. All right. Yes. Go get a keg. You can party, whatever. As soon as you're ready to fucking get back to it, let's get the fuck back to it. You know what? Fuck it. Everyone's getting drunk. I'm getting a fucking camera. Where the hell is the tripod? Does anyone have the tripod? Honey, it's set up. Right. So it like doesn't even matter the context. It's just like, this is going because this is right. When you're not in your lane, it's the opposite of it, trying to fit that round peg into a square hole where no matter how much you get right, you don't get in your zone, you know? And that would brings me to the second point. So the first is like assessing. And I heard for the first time that it wasn't a weakness. And he saw me. Like, it feels weird sometimes to be seen when you're not cool with who and what you're being, for someone to just be like, you know, which
sound effect.
Thank you. It kind of sounded like my lightsaber sound effect from Star Wars. It was a little bit like, you know, and it was meant to be more like a laser beam. So it should have been more like, phew. Like, that's more of like,
I'll tell my guys.
Yeah, you better. Cause we have the same guy.
You're the same guy.
You played a part unknowingly in me launching. Cause the biggest short circuit to like me doing my thing, aside from just like being a taker because I was like afraid to commit and like made this excuse in my mind that it wasn't a priority because I had a bunch of other really important shit I was like priority list that I was like, and I have to, and was filling it up with stuff, even though I'm like taking the time to sit there and talk to my microphone with no capacity to edit it and no capacity to release it, which is like this big of like the actual challenge of doing this.
Right.
And then randomly, Liz is like, you're always moving everyone off of their position and into your world. And I was like, yeah. And she's like, can you just fucking get out of your way and move yourself for once? And I'm like, on what, Elizabeth? I hate when I know you're right and I don't even know what the fuck you're talking about. And if you bring up Mercury is in retrograde one more fucking time, it's callback humor. Hopefully you're tuning in for the whole time, because if you just started there, that would be a weird, nonsensical comment. And randomly pulls it up and she goes, how fast do you think I can find someone to edit a podcast? So all you have to do is talk into a fucking microphone and answer 1/10 of like the cool people that are constantly coming into your life that think they're doing one thing. And by the time you two get done with each other, your like hair is all fucked up and you feel like you need a cigarette. Like you just had some wild whatever in your office, and like there's like yelling and there's fighting, and you walk out and we're like, dude, are you guys okay? And you're like, yeah, we're going into business together. They're like, what? He just wanted to whatever with the property or whatever, you know? Uh-huh. She's like, you need to record some of that, because there's a piece of what's happening that will never happen again in the same exact way that it's happened, because you continue to evolve and the world continues to evolve. Mm. Fucking record some of the goddamn conversations. You are a unique human, and for better or for worse, you will show people what they can be or what they don't want to be. And either way, it's beneficial.
That's true.
And I was like, fine, find me someone. And guess who the fuck pops up? This is when Instagram, before it had the algorithm, it was like right before, or maybe it had just come out and like Liz just hadn't updated her phone. But you know how you used to like click on someone, and before there was like 430 people that were like them, there was like 3 people that were like the person that like they recommend if you also like that person, right? It was like the very beginning of like the way Instagram was starting to make its decisions, you know?
Right.
So she opens it up. She goes, how long do you think? I bet you I can find somebody in under 30 minutes. And I'm like, there's no way in fucking hell you find our decision that we legit feel good about in less than 30 minutes. She opens it up. Guess who the person, one of the 3 human beings are that are one of Liz's, like, if you like this person, you will also like this person. It was Lauren Simpson.
Uh-huh.
Heidi, yes. Summers. She's our homie, by the way. Fuck, love Heidi.
She's the best.
I have a really funny story before I was who I was and Heidi was who she was out at the Arnold circa like 2012, 2013.
Oh, wow.
And you were the 3rd one. And she goes like this and clicks your, this is so weird. I'm talking to you right now on a podcast with a top, with a top 10 podcast in business. And 3 months ago, I was laying in my bed doing this with Liz. It's just funny what happens when you get out of your way sometime. And I by the way, all this like nerd shit I'm talking to you about, I know nothing about the iTunes algorithm. Like so much so that I didn't even, when the magic started to happen, I'm like, I'm not even going to put my like daddy spin on what is supposed to happen with it, because I'm going to fuck it up. I'm not going to try to think my way into like, how do I stay in the top 10? Because then I'm going to start to...
The magic was getting in the top 10, right?
Right.
Like magical in and of itself. Just getting in the top 10 of any category on iTunes, never mind business. Like, that's crazy.
And it's in UK and Canada and the US. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, dude, who on the fucking planet would rank me above like Damon John, Gary Vee, and Tony Robbins? Like, I think society's on crack. But, you know, call it luck, call it like fucking the universe validating, whatever. I don't even care to assess it. You know what I mean? But it's just cool. And I'm very appreciative of your subconscious intention landing somewhere in the universe to create an impact, because you pulled me in unknowingly. And I don't think that's karma. I think that is you manifesting, creating a change. So thank you for that on a personal level, sincerely.
Thank you for telling me that story.
You know what? One last piece, which is the punchline. Do you know what your like last like thing was on your story? Was thanking Jacob from Resonate Recordings.
Wow.
It wasn't your story. It was like a post or something where it was like the end of your pod, like very end of, or you were wrapping up a podcast, I think it was. And you're like, I wouldn't be able to do what I do. That's not really, impressions are not my strong suit. Unless you're a laser, like I can't really do you. Plus my girlfriend's in the other room. That would be inappropriate. It's a pun, right? Yeah. I hope so. you with the strong ears and the listening thing. That was like a pretty blatant one. You're like, can you explain that one to me? And you're sitting there and you're like, I couldn't do it. And there's so many pieces that go into it and so many people that you don't see. And I couldn't do what I do if I didn't have. And I'm like, this human being is speaking my words out of her like sweet, cutesy, very palatable tone of voice about the person that I need in my life to take the next step. And I mean, it's one of those things where I'm like, I got it. Okay.
And yes. I think I've only ever done that one time.
What's that?
I've only ever like talked about them maybe once or twice, tops.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Go into your DMs. I DM'd you. I was like, yo, do you like these guys? And Liz is like, And Liz is like, shut the fuck up and stop looking for an excuse. Like, you don't care if she likes them. Like, does she sound okay to you? Yes. And she called Jacob. And I'm like, I'm not talking. And like 2 seconds in, I'm like, you're doing this wrong. And like took the phone and was like, immediately Jacob's just like, good old Southern, warm, vanilla, happy, pleasant, cool dude, whatever. And I'm like, I think I could work with this guy.
There you go. And so, then top 10 podcasts.
Yeah, I'm kind of wondering. I'm almost like, don't talk about it. It's going to jinx it. But it's like holding. It's not like new and noteworthy. That was like kind of my goal. Is like, it's cool to be new and noteworthy because I had heard that that means something.
Right. In the podcast land.
And then it got past 6 weeks. And I'm like, hey, Jacob, can you check something for me? You know? Meanwhile, like the number one podcaster in UK, his name's Rob Moore. He has two shows, something about money, which would make sense given his field, and The Disruptive Entrepreneur, which I actually weirdly had heard of, but just didn't realize that's who I was talking to. And he's like, I've known everyone in the top however much for however long, and I'm the number one spot, and you keep displacing me, and you and I are trading off. Who are you, and what are you doing? Like, I just want to make a friend of you and see what's up and like how you're showing up in the world.
Yeah.
And I was like, cool. What do you mean? For what? And he's like, for the UK. And I'm like, for what? this was like 3 weeks in. And I'm like, for like new and noteworthy? And he's like, listen to me. Do you know how to log on to iTunes? And I'm like, sorta, you know? And he like opens it up and like we're on Skype literally like 2 seconds in. He's like, you're literally ranked number two right now. And that, the purple thing, that's my podcast. I'm like, in all of the UK? And he's like, yes, you're also number one right now in the US. I'm like, shut the fuck up. How do I check that? You know? And I'm like, dude, that, I'm like, I should probably check that email because I didn't even think to like, it's like a new domain. Like, I'm like, whatever, you know, put it out there. And, you know, my 100,000 followers on Instagram will like trickle into it and my ambassadors will support the shit out of me. Dude, and I open it and it's like 1,700 fucking like, and I'm like, I got to like, dude, I'm like getting spammed. Like I just like someone got a hold of me and is like punking me and dumping their entire list on like something that doesn't collect email addresses, just like spamming the shit. And I look at it and it's just like cool thing after cool thing. And I'm like, oh my God. And you, I'm sure you know what this is like. You changed my life. This is the story that happened to me. This is what I needed to hear. I'm doing this as a result. And I'm like sitting there like, oh my God, this is exactly, I am in my lane without trying to be, which is like when it's the craziest, because I put a lot of effort into everything. So letting stuff happen is something I have to consciously do, you know?
I was going to say, what do you think the message is behind, you know, this thing that you didn't even think was going to happen? Like you've been so intentional with all your other businesses and you have a couple different things. Like you have a supplement company, and you do real estate and you sell stuff. And this was almost an accident. What do you think, you know, the world is trying to tell you?
So I'm going to say the answer that's going to get me laid, and then I'll tell you the real answer. So the answer that's going to get me laid is to listen to Elizabeth Corvino more, hashtag Liz Life at Liz Vino on Instagram. Go follow her. I love you, baby. That's making up for the sex joke earlier. I think we're like even now. And, you know, the other thing is a reinforcement that it's like kind of the thing I said earlier that I know better than to fight myself because I have gotten it right and gotten it wrong enough times that I know how each one turns out. But the more your horsepower levels up and the harder, like I keep using that word surrender, which sounds goofy and sounds like that meme thing again, but it's true. Because when you surrender, you're no longer negotiating with, what does surrendering mean? Like, oh, he has my wrists, so I should headbutt him to get out of this position, right? You're still considering the next chess play. When you surrender, you have completely given yourself to that wave wherever it is going. Mm. And as a guy that is responsible for a lot and that is high horsepower, I have to A, be very reticent of where are you aiming your flow, right? Because if I'm just, if I am not aiming it somewhere, it starts to turn inward and I become self-destructive or just built up and can't sit still and whatever, which by the way, I always am, but just either it's productive or it's not. And number two is, you know what's right and you know what's wrong. Everyone does. Whether or not you know what the play is for a certain outcome, you always have that feeling that you either justify your way into or out of, depending on how in sync you are with what you know is the right way to be. And I'm sorry to be that blatant about it, because we're human beings and the smarter we are, the more full of shit we are, straight up. As a really fucking smart guy, I'm speaking on behalf of other smart people, because our shit is really well justified with concepts that are difficult to argue with, because a lot of them are over other people's heads. That doesn't make us more right. It makes us more full of shit. It also makes us have a heightened responsibility to be self-aware, because the higher up you climb in a hierarchy, the less boxes there are built around you for someone to say, get back in your lane, get back in your lane, good boy, you're getting a write-up, that was bad, here's a raise, you're the man. That ceases to exist unless you are looking for the feedback that you are receiving from the results you're getting around you. And anybody that has exceeded their capacity to receive in the amount that they produce does two things. They adapt and they learn how to receive really hard and really fast as a result of a couple of difficult lessons, or they motherfucking implode and end up that guy that blows the lottery money and ends up in rehab and crashes a car and loses his kids and whatever. Because your skills, your people that have a capacity to like make energy move, have to like develop the skill to be able to handle the amount of inflow that comes as a result of it. Something I got really wrong early in life. I thought when I had a couple of bucks, when I'm no longer sitting on the couch masturbating to the mental image of X, Y, and Z, and with like the car on my wall and the dream board and the books out and the audiobooks because I can't read fast enough, and then I'm going to get to my calculus final and I'm gunning for the top grade in the class, but Noah's crying and I'm like holding him, and you know what I mean? I'm like, dude, if I just had like $300 right now and I didn't have to work that double tomorrow, I would be so fine to pull an all-nighter tonight and take my test at 7 and then sleep after. But I have to go straight from there to my bartending job to be able to start my first business that is not paying me anything yet. If I fucking would have known that I have like my office that is inside of a bigger office that is inside of a building that is a series of buildings that I own, and my single office is bigger than the entire unit that I was living in at the time that I split with five people and my kid, I could never imagine my workload being greater with a couple of fucking million dollars in the bank and not a necessity to keep pushing, being greater than it was when I was starving to death. And it's not greater, it's 30 times greater. Because as you do something wrong, you create problems you have to deal with. And people that are still stuck in that haven't hit their thing yet think that that ends when you start winning. And the reality is, it's the exact opposite. Because if you fuck shit up, yeah, you have stuff to deal with because you didn't pull it off. But if you win, the amount of inflow that comes from that is like, okay, now you got to learn to do your fucking tax shelters. Now you got to deal with lawsuits because people know that you're worth something. Now people are going to throw opportunities at you faster than you can check text messages. Now you're going to get stuck between being a freaking bitch that doesn't fucking care and doesn't respond to her shit, or be a complete slave to your DMs 24/7, or third option, develop a mechanism to deal with the inflow that comes your way as a result of the energy that you put out. I know. I got you, girl. I was speaking in terms of Amanda. I was literally speaking to you with my concept. I mean, sincerely though, I mean, I see you. I was sitting at a table at Arnold Classic in 2014, and Heidi Summers and I had like, you know, this Instagram thing is going to be something. It's cool. You're in Alaska. You're doing your fucking dinner. Like, do you want to come over to Rev Labs? I'm stuck in this thing and I don't, the company I'm suing, they're suing me and da da da. And we kind of became like just homies, like pen pally, like just DM homies, right? And then randomly she like texts me and she's like, I'm looking at you right now. Sounds creepier than it was. She's like, I'm literally looking at you right now. Can I come over and say hi? And I'm like, what? Where? And I'm like looking around. It's like a crowded like bar. I'm like at a table at like a crazy, crazy crowded restaurant, right? And she's like, I can't see her from where I am. And she's like, are you sitting with Randy Couture? Do you know Randy Couture? He was like MMA superstar, like UFC guy, whatever. And Dan Henderson. And I had no connection to Randy, but Dan Henderson, who's also like a two-time Olympian and wrestled, and they both fought and were Hall of Famers in the UFC at the same time. I was doing a thing with Dan. So Dan, like wherever he goes, it was like, I was super blessed to be in the same fucking room as him as like a huge fan of his. Mm-hmm. And then he was bringing like the current UFC champion over, like coming up to our table. I'm so sorry to interrupt. I just want to shake your hand. Can I get a picture with you? He's like, you're wearing the belt. Why do you want a picture with me? But he's like that type of guy. And I'm just sitting there like, I love all of you, you know? Yeah. And then Heidi texts me and is like, hey, I'm looking at you. Are you with like think, whoever was like at the table? And I'm like, dude, come the fuck over, whatever. She comes over and like after she leaves, I'm with like an older generation of human, right? So I'm like 27 at the time and these guys are like 45.
Right.
You know? And the social media thing was like definitely rising, but it was not what it is now 5 years ago.
Of course.
And they're like, oh, she was hot. You gonna like bring her home, whatever? And I'm like, no, dude. Like, A, I have a girlfriend. She has a boyfriend whose name is awesome, Josh. And no offense if you're listening to this, Christian. You're way more handsome. I mean that as gay as possible, by the way. Which, by the way, I liked your interview way back when with Christian. And you have evolved immensely since then. I would almost be interested to hear you guys go at it again. I think that would be really cool.
Yeah, that was a terrible interview that I did. It wasn't terrible, but it was my first one.
So you were stretching, and growth is not comfortable, and it certainly is not pretty. And I commend you for fucking like going for it. Like I was hearing it. I'm like, dude, she's trying. This is good. Like
I'm trying.
You're fucking working through it. It's cool. Like there's not a fucking there wasn't a handbook on podcasting, and it's still being developed every time.
Actually, was it John Podcast for Dummies book? So.
Was it by John Lee Dumas?
No, it was just like the Four Dummies brand.
Oh, the yellow like.
Yeah, but like. Yellow textbook looking thing. Yeah.
I like that you just dropped that you bought a textbook. Do people still do that?
Oh, it was a gift.
Oh, okay. You didn't buy it. See, that's me filling in instead of listening. I made up a word there. You received it.
I did.
Unlike me during that last sentence. Anyway, the purpose of that was like Heidi came over. She's like, you know, a cute little like 4'11 nothing. Mm-hmm. Looks like a hot chick, right? And Randy Couture, who like doesn't have an Instagram, right? And is the star of that show, was like, I'm like, no, dude, trust me. She's going to be gnarly. Like, just believe me. You know, like she was at like 8,000 however many months ago. And I was the big guy because I was at 23, you know? Right. And I was working it really hard and doing fucking S for S's and like rotating my hashtags in like 2013, you know? And they're like, so she has 8,000 people that follow her. And I like sat there and I broke down what a savage, like after Heidi left. It's just so funny. I'm like kind of happy to be telling this story because I don't even think I've ever like talked to her about it. But like it was very distinct. And we like hung out for like 2 hours or 3 hours or something. So it wasn't a brief interaction. And they just thought she was like some hot girl I was like hitting on or whatever. And I'm like, no, dude, like, okay, so before, like you guys got sponsored and paid like $1 billion to go walk out and fight wearing a Muscle Farm thing and drinking a Monster Energy. That is the prehistoric version of what these people will be doing in 3 years. And I had this on video in 2012 saying this to Dan Henderson and explained to him the importance of vlogging on a vlog. Mm. And those vlogs that we did, and like Dan's well retired, and like I look at them and half of me is like embarrassed. Like I'm looking at it like, God, you were so brilliant. And God, you were so bad. Like, yeah. Holy shit. Like, it's weird you had to go through the phase of like middle school with like braces and frizzy hair to like become the swan you are. It's like looking back at those pictures and you're like, yeah, it's like Ryan Reynolds in Just Friends where he's like,
yeah,
obese singing to like Michael Bolton or whoever it was. Like, and I'm looking at him like, but you know what? Good for you. to know to be like doing vlogs with an MMA fighter, like teaching techniques, but then talking about how he is feeling before fights and what's going on in his world and saying, hey, can I come over to your house? And he's like, what, like a reality TV show? And I'm like, no, just like segments of like the piece that people don't get to see. Right. Anyway, I was explaining to him, like, she doesn't have an agent. She doesn't have a manager. Those things don't exist for social media people, and they will in 5 years. Mm. And I was sitting there like defending, if that's the right word, Heidi to a bunch of guys that are looking at us like, that's cute, kids. Go play with your Xbox. Mm-hmm. Not getting what I was saying. And I'm like, dude, she's a savage. You'll see what I mean. And then when she passed 100K like 6 months later and it really started to click, I'm like, see? And they're like, see what? It still just looks like your fucking MySpace thing. I'm like, you guys are fucking whatever. But you doing your thing and doing it great, infinitely more gracefully than I do it, by the way. I don't know if that's like the woman's touch or like you just have more finesse as a being, or like I'm a little bit of a blunt instrument at times to make it look like people don't get how much, if you allow it to run your life, it will run you until there is nothing left to give. Mm-hmm. And you do from where I'm standing, and you never really know, but I think I have a good sense of things. You do a really good job of keeping the source strong enough to be able to keep producing. And that's a challenging thing to do when you have the amount of inflow that comes with the amount of success and energy you have moved.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Well, I appreciate that.
You're the man.
There's a lot of time and energy that just goes into social media and all of this in general. And you have to keep the focus. Someone said that to me once. That is
keep the focus, the focus. I like that.
Yeah.
I like that.
So we talked about a lot of things on the podcast today. Is there, you know, in summary, like if we were to wrap it up in three pieces of advice based on what we talked about today for people listening right now, and they're wanting to take something away to remember from you, what would those three things be?
Three things. Have you ever seen the movie Billy Madison? Mm-hmm. He like gives the speech where he's like, the dog society found his way home. And he's like, Mr. Madison, at no point during that incoherent rambling did you get anywhere close to something that resembled a coherent point. You'll be awarded no points and may God have mercy on your soul. You know, he's like speaking, thinking he's doing really good. And then the guy, he like gets no points and he's like, nip high football rules. And everybody starts cheering. I was going to quote that like with a straight face as my conclusion, but figured it would be nicer to say in jest and not make light of a lot of hard thought out points. Here are my three bullets straight for you, Bucci Radio host and loyal following. Number one, people are like fighting the constant battle between your head and your heart. I think if you stay in line and good with yourself, it's more of a matter of am I giving or am I receiving? And a lot of the time, the capacity to receive, opening yourself up, will do nothing but wildly empower your capacity to move mountains, because you will be that piece, that spear that gets to come in and what? Laser. Right between the eyes, hitting the issue hard as hell, instead of machine gunning where you're working harder and harder and like spinning yourself into quicksand, sinking, burning yourself out and not getting the result you want. A lot of the time, if you just pause for that extra 10% to see what your situation is communicating to you, hearing someone's tonality, watching, heightening your sensory acuity to just feel the input of your environment before you jump at any of the things that are showing up for you, your power quadruples. That's number one. The next two are quick. Number two, grant yourself the permission. Stop thinking in right or wrong. Mm. Because the reality is, dude, you jump, you leap, you look, you're going to be right and you're going to be wrong. Here's the thing. You defend yourself from not falling in love because you're scared it's going to hurt. I have news for you. You are still going to hurt. People don't leap because of the fear of failure. Do you have any fucking idea how many times I have thrown myself out there in public environment with my money and my reputation on the motherfucking line and landed on my face? And here's a secret. The whole, like, they have their shit together. They know what they're doing. Nobody knows what the fuck they're doing. not the CEO of any organization, not any fucking millionaire, not any beauty queen, not any social person, not the president of the motherfucking United States, especially not him. Straight up. But you know what? You're going to leap and you're going to fail. That's the bad thing and the good thing. But if you stay with your ass in the fucking seat, you're going to hurt and you're going to fail also. So just fucking go for it and unapologetically, relentlessly fall in complete surrender without an explanation to yourself or anybody else to move the way you are moving. And you will shock yourself at what the fuck you're capable of producing. And I'm saying that with not patronizing, not lecturing. I'm saying it with like, I'm borderline emotional because I feel like I am talking to a younger version of myself. And look at my eyes. Can you see where I'm at right now? This is like, because of the space that you have beautifully created for me to expand into, I'm giving it to you with as much love as I have in my heart. Make your life easier and just fucking go. Assess until you hit that trigger and recognize that trigger. And once it's time to go, just fucking hit it with every single thing you have. And if you're wrong, you're wrong. That's the worst that happens is you're wrong. And you go broke and everyone laughs at you and then you don't get broken by it because it's impossible and you just go make it back and you realize you have the ability to fucking leap again. Takeaway number three, Amanda Bucci is the fucking man. And I hope sincerely this is
one.
this best for last. Yeah, I was punchlining this one. I hope this is the very first of very, very, very many communications. You on my podcast, me on your podcast, doing some fucking free empowerment to whatever the hell in your life I can contribute to unapologetically. I'm happy to surrender my skill set to fucking making you be more of who you are because you're a fucking rock star, sincerely. Thank you for contributing to this. I wouldn't be here today if it were not for you. I want a poster signed on my wall of Amanda Bucci. You sell those? Do you have like a fans only or like a premium? Good for you.
I never. Oh, that's funny. Well, thank you so much for your time today. I feel like we, you know, covered a lot and I feel like we covered a lot of really insightful nuggets. And I think this will be one of those podcasts that people have to listen to a couple times to gather everything. And really,
I apologize. I should have warned you a little bit.
In a good way.
I have the tendency to flow and you asked good questions.
Yes. Well, I like the flow. The flow state of what you were talking about was so good. So thank you so much again for being on. And thank you guys so much for listening. Go follow Josh on Instagram, RevLabsPrez.
With a Z. You got it. RevLabsPrez.
There you go.
On iTunes, it's Inside Out Empowerment. You can probably navigate it to better than I can. I just search
the charts, the top 10. So
yes, I search my own name.
Yeah, that works too. I do the same thing.
Do you?
Yeah.
That's so goofy. Yeah. We're like, we're normal humans.
We search our names in iTunes, but it's okay. And next time we'll do a podcast for your podcast and we'll get that out there too.
I would love that. And I would love to sit there and do nothing but like poke you and have you just talk to me about your infinite wonders and brilliance. The first few I did, I was letting the other person run it because it's their show. And they're like, no, dude, that's why I have you on, is to just come and like do your thing for an hour. So I'm still finding that sweet spot and I'm very much open to any criticism that you have.
There you go. Okay, cool. Sounds good.
Mwah.
Inside Out Empowerment is written and produced by me, Joshua Nussbaum. But when it comes to all things editing, mixing, mastering, I have to give hats off. Resonate Recordings has been amazing to work with. If you have a podcast or you're thinking about starting a podcast, I knew I had a bunch of stuff I wanted to say, didn't really know how I was going to go about putting it into a podcast format, get it into an RSS feed, upload it to iTunes, all that stuff. And the owner of Resonate Recordings, Jacob, has really stepped up to the plate. Go ahead and mention Inside Out Empowerment when you talk to them and you'll get your first episode mixed and mastered for free. If you guys are looking to level up your life and be entertained in the process, go ahead and subscribe so you don't miss my weekly podcast. I'm highly responsive. Please, I'm going to leave the show notes below, complete with all the ways you can connect with me on Instagram at RevLabsPrez, on YouTube at Joshua Nussbaum. This is here for you guys. Please reach out, connect, like, comment, subscribe, ask me questions, tag me. I'm here for you. Let's tailor this bad boy and live an empowered life. Talk soon.
just watch me now.